Good morning, everyone. How are you all?
Good.
It's nice to be in church, isn't it? So I just want to say welcome to any new visitors and to the regulars. I'm Pastor Onami, if you've never met me. So I'll just get all of us to stand up and look to the screen. Can we all read this together? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please take your seats. Now, most of you would have heard that prayer. Sorry that the screen lagged a bit for those who may not know that prayer. Who can take a wild guess what the message is about today? Good guess. Prayer. Who can tell me, just the wild guess, what is the least attended meeting in church? Prayer meeting. That's correct. What's the most attended meeting, if you just think about it? What do you think it would be? Pardon? Worship? Prophetic meetings. When people hear that there's a prophet in town, right? People will run to church. When people hear it's a prayer meeting, doesn't happen, right? So we're talking about prayer. The title of my message this morning is Prayer, the Vehicle of Transformative Faith or Transformational Faith. Prayer, the Vehicle of Transformative Faith. Prayer is a way of communicating. It's a way of connecting to God. It's about relationship. The subject of prayer is really the subject of faith. We pray because we have faith that God hears and that he's going to do something about it. I remember when I was in high school, whenever it was exam time, people will run to whoever they knew was a Christian and say, please pray for me. Even if, you know, they were not Christians, but they just had that belief that if somebody prays, I will do well in my exams. Forget whether or not they had studied. There was just that belief. So prayer is like a vehicle, right? A vehicle takes us from point A to point B in our faith journey. It's how we exercise faith. Do you believe that prayer works? Can I have a show of hands? Do you believe that prayer works? Yes, most of us do, if not all. Somebody prayed for you to be here today. There are people who have prayed and we are not even aware that they have prayed. There's somebody else in another church right now or in another country, in another state, who is praying for you. You might think, oh, I'm not so sure about that. But every time somebody says, Lord, I pray for the people of God, or I pray for people in WA, someone could be in America right now and say, I'm praying for people in Australia. So whether you've met the person or not, somebody out there has prayed. So our salvation story is somebody's prayer point. The children that we have is somebody's prayer point. The houses that we live in is somebody's prayer point. There are people who prayed for this church to be here. We are a product of somebody's prayer life. Australia enjoys the peace that it does because somebody prayed. The Bible has numerous examples of prayer. Transformative faith, as people prayed, where a faith that turns things around. We know the story of Hannah. I won't go too much into the details, but in Hannah, in the book of Samuel, we hear about Hannah, who is a woman who didn't have children. And she was married to this man, and he had another wife who had children with this man, but she didn't. And she prayed. She prayed for a child. And that child came. So Hannah prayed, and she got her prayer answered. And she gave birth to Samuel. If you go read the book of Samuel, that's evidence right there that Hannah's prayer was answered. In the book of Acts, we hear about Paul and Silas who were imprisoned. And they prayed. There was a prayer, and the prison doors were opened. There was transformation there. Then we come to David, and I just want to share this scripture from Psalm 116, verse 1 to 9. It says this, and I'm reading this to remind us that God actually listens when we pray, despite what we might think. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. God hears our prayers, despite what we might think, despite what we may have experienced. About 15 years ago, I had this experience, and I wish this scripture was in my heart back then. It would have made things a bit different for me. So about 15 years ago, I felt this prompting to just be waking up and praying. So it would be early hours of the morning, and I'll just be praying and praying, and I'll get names of people, and I'll just pray and pray and pray. But then after a while, I started to have nightmares. And it was nightmares of, you know, people in my family being killed, coffins, men in black suits. I think I've shared this before, but it was just horrific. So my response to that was, I need to stop what I'm doing. So I stopped praying in that manner. And I stopped for a very long time, like I said. It was 15 years ago, but I stopped for many, many, many years. Until I got a revelation that prayer was part of what God had called me to. All of us as Christians were called to pray. It's part of what we do as Christians. But for me personally, it was one of the things that I believe is one of the things God wants me to be doing consistently. So I felt, or I came to understand that that was an attack on that thing. 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's you and I. And his ears are attentive to their prayers. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And his ears are attentive to their prayers. If ever you've doubted whether God actually attends to your prayers, this word says he does. Despite your experience. Now, when we hear prayer works, a lot of us would have heard God says yes when we pray, right? When we hear prayer works. But it doesn't necessarily mean that, because God does not say yes to every single prayer, does he? God will say yes to a prayer that is in alignment with his will. If I'm a married woman and I pray to God that I would start a relationship with someone else, is God going to answer that prayer? If I end up going to that other person and start saying God answered my prayer, is that true? But sometimes that's what happens. We say God answered our prayers when it was us who chose that thing. And we say it was God. And we thank God for the blessing. I'm talking about having an affair. That's what I'm talking about. Prayer works. God will say no to our prayer sometimes. Because God looks at our motives. And it says in the Bible, if you pray with wrong motives, God's not going to say yes to that. Think about our children. I've got a bit of a problem right now with my three-year-old. Every single day she says to me, Mommy, can I have lolly snakes? Every single day. And if she falls asleep when you've said, okay, we'll see if we can get them, the first thing she says when she wakes up, where are my lolly snakes? Now, should I give her lolly snakes every time she asks for them? It's not good for her. God is not always going to say yes to our prayers. Sometimes God will say yes if it's in alignment with his will. Sometimes he'll say no if our motives are wrong. And sometimes he'll say wait when the time is not right. There is an appointed time for everything. God has a schedule and he sticks to his schedule. But here's the key thing. It matters how we interpret God's response to our prayer. A lot of us interpret God's response based on our personal experiences with our earthly parents, our earthly father. So when God says no, we think he doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. My prayers are not effective. But that's assuming that prayer always has to get a yes. And so, because even though we know that prayer works, we fail to pray sometimes. Because maybe we don't know how. We struggle with a prayer lifestyle if we do pray. Because we get discouraged. We start and stop. Maybe sometimes because we're lazy. And sometimes we undo our own prayers. So we go and pray and say, Lord, I pray that I would have a great relationship with, I don't know, my children. And then in the same breath, we say, what a useless child. We undo our own prayers. We're not very conscious of the things that we're saying. And in those moments, we undo our prayers. So my aim for today is to hopefully shift our relationship with prayer. We all have a different relationship. Every single one of us, we have a unique relationship with this concept of prayer. So my aim is to shift that from inconsistent and failed attempts to one where we are more interested in prayer and more hopeful that when we do pray, we are being effective. Effective doesn't mean you get what you want. We don't give our children every single thing that they ask for. That would not be responsible parenting. God is not any different. He is our guide. So I had this dream. Forgive me if you've heard it before, but I think it's important. I had this dream once, and I was going to try and remember it, but I want to say it the way I wrote it. I dreamt I was on a road and driving, and there was a woman with three children walking on the road. And then I ran over the smallest child. And then I drove away. Then something said, go back. So I went back and I knelt down. And when I got there, it was no longer the body of a child, it was a brain. And I knelt down and I started to pray. I started praying very loudly in the name of Jesus, calling out at the top of my lungs. And I said, brain, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And as I continued shouting and nothing happened, I started to get discouraged. A lot of us get discouraged when we pray and nothing happens. I was about to leave when the mother of the child said to me, I could not leave. And she wanted me to keep praying. And she wanted to see if this Jesus could really raise people from the dead. So I continued to pray. And soon that brain slowly started to expand and blow up into an even bigger ball of brain. And then it started to form into a child. And before long, it turned into a beautiful baby girl. I still consider that the most powerful dream I've ever had. So I got three great lessons from that. Number one, that prayer works. Number two, that there's power in the name. Number three, that you must go back again. So I'm going to focus on those three areas. Power in the name. Who knows there's power in the name of Jesus? We say it all the time, that there's power in the name of Jesus. But in that moment, that woman challenged me in the dream. She wanted to know. She challenged the authority of Jesus. She wanted to know if this Jesus can really raise people from the dead. But in essence, she was challenging my faith. And your faith will be challenged. If it hasn't happened yet, it will happen. The same thing happened to Jesus when he was in the desert. And Satan challenged. He said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. She said, I want to see whether this Jesus can raise people from the dead. Your faith will be challenged. You must understand the authority and power of the name of Jesus. And this is going to be reflected in your words, the things that you say. Like I said before, you can undo your own prayers with the words that you speak. It will be reflected in the words you speak, and it will be reflected in the way that you think, your mind. There is a strong combination here between understanding the power in the name of Jesus and the power of your mind. Philippians 2, 9 to 11 and Romans 2, 12 to highlight this point. It says in the Philippians, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's a combo. We know what a combo is, right? They do that at the fast food places. It's a combo between understanding the power of the name of Jesus and the renewing of your mind. If you understand the power of the name of Jesus, but your mind is not renewed, it will not work. Your mind needs to be renewed so that what you think, how you think, is in alignment with what you believe about the power of the name. So what do we know? We know that prayer works. We know that there is power in the name of Jesus. Now I want to talk about going back. We have to know to go back. There's a story in the book of Mark where Jesus was there with his disciples and he was doing healings. And this is in verse 23, Mark 8, 23 to 25. And this is from the New King James. It says, then he came to Bethsaida and they brought a blind man to him. and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, who wants Jesus to come spit on their eyes? He was unconventional. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Are men meant to look like trees? I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again, so he went back and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Prayer is about inviting God into your situation. People brought the blind man to Jesus. That was an invitation for Jesus to intervene. Sometimes we're not very good at asking God to intervene in our situation. Sometimes our thinking is, God knows my issue, so I don't need to ask. But the invitation matters. They brought him to Jesus. And it says that Jesus put his hands on him, and the man looked like trees. Which means that this man's prayer, his request, his invitation was not fully fulfilled. In the dream, the brain expanded into a bigger ball of brain. I could have walked away, but I didn't. I kept praying. You have to go back. So Jesus prays for this man, and he sees men looking like trees. That was not complete. And so he went back again. And it says that the man was restored. Pastor Stephen spoke a few weeks ago about believe again. It's important that we believe again. It's important that we go back. Whatever it is you're believing God for, you may be discouraged at this point. Sometimes we say things like, maybe it's not God's will. That's a way of consoling ourselves. It's not God's will for me. If it's in the word and if it's an alignment, it is his will. If it's in alignment with his word, it is his will. But sometimes it's a timing issue. So if it's a timing issue, that's why we won't necessarily know. But we tell ourselves, there's a story that we tell ourselves when things don't work out with our prayers. But this morning, I just want to encourage you to not give up on praying. So what should we pray for? And how should we approach prayer? How should we approach prayer? When we pray, or what should we pray for? Matthew 6, we're not going to go through it. We all stood up and said it. His kingdom to come. All of us, when we're praying, we must pray for his kingdom to come. We may not actually know what that looks like, but he does. Our part is to pray and partner with God and pray for his kingdom to come. Our part is to pray for his will to be done on earth. What does that mean? That may his will be done in my life. May his will be done in my family's life. May his will be done in the life of my church. May his will be done for the people of this town. We want his will to be done. We pray for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for our daily needs. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for deliverance. So there are core areas that are identified when Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Sometimes we scratch our heads and say, I don't even know what to pray for. It's right there. So that's the what. How? How should we pray? We must first of all pray in confidence. believing that our prayer is effective, that our prayer will transform. We do, you know, Joyce Meyer wrote a book about the battlefield. The mind is a battlefield. And half of the problem is that when we go and pray, we've got a battle going on in our minds. But that's where God comes in. He will sort that stuff out, because a lot of us have got stuff that we're carrying. So, you know, pray with confidence that prayer is a vehicle of transformative faith. What does that mean? There are a few things that I'm going to run quickly through. I want you to imagine a car. Most of us here drive, right? So let's have a picture of your car in your mind. Number one, unload the boot. If you're going to pray effectively, unload the boot. There's some things that we're carrying that hinder the way that we pray. So we need to start with that. Some of us are carrying things from 20, 30 years ago. And when we go to pray, we carry those things into the prayer room or prayer session, whatever you want to call it. We leave with those same things. We come back tomorrow with those same things. So we have to unload the boot. Number two, fill the tank. Fuel the tank. Don't take chances. I don't know if you've had this experience. As embarrassing as it is, it's happened to me. I ran out of fuel. The car stopped at a highway, if you can imagine it. It was horrible. So you think ahead, plan ahead. When it says fuel the tank, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit was left here for us as our helper. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, of wisdom, and of revelation. So we need that fire. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to invite the Holy Spirit. We need to turn the key. Prayer is key. Everything you do should start and finish with prayer. I liked what Arush said, that, you know, how to deal with that anxiety of stepping into something new. He said, trust God and pray before you start. That was powerful. Pray before you start. So attend that key. If you don't know how, one, have your own personal prayer time. Two, have a discipleship partner. Start or join a prayer group. Now you can even join them online. Attend the monthly prayer meeting. They're powerful. Attend that. Join a connect group. Those are practical steps you can take. Next thing, close the door. If you're going to have effective prayer, close the door. Number one, the door of pride, the door around your speech, watch the things you say, your mind, and your heart. All those areas are doors that you can open and cause your prayers to not be effective. Use your indicators. One of my pet peeves is when somebody's in front of me and they don't indicate which way they're going. It's frustrating. It could cause an accident. We need a sense of direction. We need to know when we are praying, are we going left? Are we going right? What are we praying about? We need to be specific. Sometimes you say, God, bless my child. What does that mean? Direction. We need to hit the brakes. Sometimes we run with our own agenda when we're praying, but we need to slow down. We need to be sensitive to our environment. Do you know what's happening in the life of your church members? Do you know what's happening in the lives of your connect group? Do you know what's happening? We need to be sensitive to our environment. You need to pray for the people in your connect group. You need to pray for the people in your church. You need to pray for your pastors, right? So all those, we need to basically hit the brakes, slow down, and be sensitive to what God is saying. So why do all of this stuff? Yes, we know prayer works. The name of Jesus is powerful. We need to go back. Why does it all matter? One word I'll give you. Legacy. Legacy. You know, when we think about legacy, we think about, you know, what's left behind. Usually it's about money or gift or an inheritance that's been left behind. The Macmillan Dictionary talks about something that is something such as a tradition or a problem that exists as a result of what has happened in the past. A legacy can be positive or negative. Lately, when I'm relaxing, there's this show I'm hooked on. I try to just be there for, like, you know, 2 episodes, but 6 episodes later. Yes, that's when I remember I have other things to do. It's called Legacy. And it's a story of a father. The father dies at the beginning of the show. And he has two wives, well, an ex-wife and a current wife, but they have children. And then there's this infighting that happens after the father dies, and there's the betrayals, there's disunity. Much like the church, sometimes. But one thing they have in common is that they are united in this, wanting to preserve the legacy of their father. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we have a legacy to preserve. You know, the very first lesson that Jesus teaches his disciples, that he teaches us in the prayer that we started with at the beginning, he is unity, our Father. Unity. We've had to deal with COVID, and do we all remember the toilet paper issues? People were fighting over toilet paper. People were in a state of panic. They didn't want to run out. There was a fear of running out of resources. In Mark 6, 35 to 37, and I'm finishing soon, says, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. This is the crowds. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Our message to people around us, or the situation is around us, is this. I can't deal with your situation. Sometimes in our workplaces, sometimes in our homes, sometimes in our church, we say, I can't deal. It's too hard. That's our message. But his message is this. You give them something to eat. We often think that we need to look somewhere else for answers. But we have the answers. You have the answers. We have a gift, a tool called prayer. We've got a direct line to the source of all things. That's the amazing thing about living in the New Testament times. In olden days, they had to go through a priest. We have a direct line. You can call on God. You could wake up at 2 a.m. and you have direct access to God. You could be alone. You could be with other people. You could be any part of the house. You've got direct access. You could be driving. You could be ironing. You have direct access. You could be in a tool shed. I'm making a point here. Wherever you are, you have a direct access. So I'll get you all to stand up. Prayer is a partnership between us and God. It's a partnership between our faith and his word, his plans, his purposes. There is a legacy that you leave as an individual. There is a legacy that you leave as a parent. There's a legacy that you leave as a church, as a community, as a nation. There is a legacy that Australia will leave on the earth. There is a legacy that C3 will leave. There's a legacy that you as an individual. You don't have to be filthy rich to leave a legacy. So let our legacy be this. Prayer works. Let our legacy be this. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And let our legacy be this. We will go back again. So I just want to pray. If you have a specific prayer need, please feel free to come at the front. But I just do want to pray for all of us around all of these. And please join me. We started with prayer together. Let us finish with prayer together, because we are not spectators. We are participants in what God is doing. So let us pray. If you do have a specific prayer need, please come up and people will come and pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that prayer works. We thank you, Father, that there is power in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. We thank you, Father, that we are children of the Most High God, and that you have given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, that you have given us authority to call those things that are not as though they are. And Lord, I just pray this morning, Father, for everyone in the room, whatever their need is. If there's anyone who's tried to pray and they felt that it didn't work, I pray for a refreshed vision of who you are. I pray, Father, for a reminder of what you can do, that you are a faithful God. God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. I thank you, Father, for every new person in the room. I thank you, Father, that they found this place, that they came here. And I pray, Father, that they would feel the love of God in this place. I pray for a strengthening of relationships, oh God, in our connect groups, in our church, in our two campuses. And I pray, Father, that we will know that there is power in the name of Jesus. Power for healing, power for deliverance, power to break chains. And I pray, Father, that as we go out as a church, that we will take opportunities to pray for people. That we will not say, I'm not a prayer warrior. That we will not say, I'm not an intercessor. But we will say, I understand that there is power in the name of Jesus. That we'll be able to say to situations, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. May that be our prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to finish off with this. I was watching my daughter singing and leading, and I was reminded of something that happened 15 years ago. She's turning 15 soon. And what I was reminded of was I was in my home country, Botswana, and I was in a church, and I was heavily pregnant. And there was a prophet in the house, and he called me out. And he called me out. He didn't know my situation. He didn't know me. He was a visiting prophet. And he said, this child will live. He said, this will not be unto death. And what he didn't understand or what he didn't know was that in the weeks leading up to that, I had been having terrible, terrible pains. I had been to doctors, and there was extreme, intense fear that we were going to lose this child. So, fast forward the day she was born, and I've shared this before, she's born straight onto the floor in the living room. So I look at her leading us in worship, and I say, God answers prayers, that God is faithful, that he is a way maker, that he is a miracle working God. And so I want to leave you with that, that whatever you're asking God for, don't give up. He is a miracle working God, and he will do it for you, not just for your neighbor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.